So we're in the middle of Perek Yud Aleph of Sefer Shoftim. We've been discussing the story of Yiftach and his brothers, how Yiftach is a ben zona, whether that means the son of an actual zona or a concubine, and the brothers exile, they kick him out, they say, you're not getting any of the inheritance, and they kick him out, and he goes to Eretz Tov, and there he forms a little band of marauders or something, I don't know what they were doing, but his strength is seen, and when Amon begins to attack Bnei Yisrael and Gilad, so the elders of Gilad turn around and send for Yiftach, and at first they ask him just to be their champion in the army, but they won't give him any power, and he says no. And they say, well, if you win, then we'll give you power, and he says no. And then finally, they say, okay, you could be our leader from the beginning, and he agrees to that. So we pick up in the middle at in Pasuk Yud Aleph, I think. Yes. So in Pasuk Yud Aleph describes Vayelech Yiftach im Ziknei Gilad, and Yiftach went with the elders of Gilad. Vayasimu ha'amo sa'aleim l'rosh u'lekatzin, and the nation placed him, appointed him as a rosh, as the leader, u'lekatzin, and as the front line general. Vayedaber Yiftach es kol devarav b'lifnei Hashem b'mitzvah, and Yiftach spoke his words before Hashem in mitzvah. What are his words? What did he have to speak about before Hashem? So the Malbim says that they had to agree on what would be his limits of power. They were appointing him as the leader, and they needed to make an official agreement as to what being the leader meant. What types of powers will he have? What control will he have? And what's with Hashem? I guess they wanted to be witness. They wanted to be witness. That's the other Malbim says it. The Malbim doesn't explain that part. I guess I suppose they wanted to be, you know, like witnessed by Shemayim Va'aretz. Hashem would be a witness. Others say that it just means his tefillah. I think that he davened. That's what it meant. He spoke his words before Hashem as in he davened. And Rashi tells us that Hatznai Shebenim. Again, similar to the Malbim, Rashi says it was their agreement, the conditions of their agreement. That's what they were speaking about. Now,
so they want them to renege or something?
Right, they wouldn't renege. We'll talk a moment more about what Lifnei Hashem is in a moment. But before we do that, what's this place mitzvah? Where's mitzvah? Why? So first of all, fact check again. Lifnei Hashem, Pashat Shat, the simple understanding of Lifnei Hashem, Rashi says, is that it was with Hashem because the Shechina was there, because there was a large gathering of people, and when you have a large gathering of people, the Shechina comes and joins. And therefore, it was with Hashem that they came to this agreement.
Now, 2,000 people?
Certainly. Now, the interesting thing about mitzvah is that this is not the first and not the last time that it's going to be used as a gathering place. The Mitzvah David points out that they had gathered here. This is where Yoshua achieved a great victory, and people gathered there. And later it's going to be the place where Shmuel Hanavi anoints Shaul to be king. in mitzvah. And so this, I don't know what was the, if it was a spiritual significance for gathering there, or was this a practical, you know, it, maybe it had like a stadium-like structure, I'm not sure. But, do we know where it is? I don't think it appears on the maps in front of me. But I'm sure there are other maps that would show where it is. Now, the Yonatan Eichstadt has an interesting idea related to this, that he says, you know, this is where Shaul was eventually anointed as king. So he suggests that Yitzchak saw, which is Ruach HaKodesh, that this is a place where the king will be anointed. And would then go on to conquer Bnei Amon, who were the, that was the nation that was attacking them right now. Now, he thought that maybe it was him. He thought that it was, you know, Ruach HaKodesh was telling him, this is, maybe it's me. And so that's why he chose that place. But he was mistaken, it was really meant for Shaul. Now, not to say that that was necessarily a bad thing that he thought that. He was definitely a considerate tzaddik, and he showed signs of humility, but with his Ruach HaKodesh, it wasn't always clear, I guess, what it meant. He thought it would be it was referring to him. Now, the Mishpat Zav quotes a sefer Be'er Moshe to sort of connect the two shatim of Rashi and those who say, which I didn't write down who said it, that it was that he came there for Tfila. Right, Rashi and the Malbim say he came there too for the conditions of the agreement, and others say that he came there to daven. So, if you understand like Rashi, that it was, he came there for the agreement, they made their agreement there, so like you asked, what was with Nei Hashem? Why did it have to be done in front of Hashem? So, the Be'er Moshe says that he was actually davening, and with, he was being the order, he was awakening merit based on the Tanai that they were making, based on the condition. Meaning, explains the Mishpat Zav, that it could be that when Yiftach said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said that, you know, I'm Yiftach, I'm human, I'm flesh and blood. And my brothers and the elders of Gilad, they sinned against me, they kicked me out, they were mean to me, and they came crawling back to me when they needed me, so lead them. They needed my might and my strength, and they came back to me. And what did I do? I agreed, I answered them. And I'm ready to go to war for them. So if so, he said, all the more so, that the Melech Malchei Amlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we should be able to ask in the same way that you accept the tshuva of Bnei Yisrael. Even though, like we learned in the last parak, Bnei Yisrael did terrible averus, Avodah Zarah and the like. And it was only when they were in trouble that they came back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says Yiftach, that still, since now they've done tshuva, they got rid of their Avodah Zarah, and they turn to you and they're davening to you, so you have to accept their tshuva. In the same way that I accepted the tshuva of the people of Gilad, you should accept their tshuva. And so he's using the Tanai, the agreement that he made, as in the fact that he made this agreement with them, as the method of tshuva.
You should accept it.
What?
Should accept it.
Should, yeah.
Yeah, not have to.
Should.
My wife doesn't like saying it when I say have to.
Okay. So moving on to Pasuk Yud Beis. So now, this is really, as I mentioned, this is the Haftarah Parshas Chukas. This is why. The next series of Pesukim are going to be related to Parshas Chukas. In Parshas Chukas, Bnei Yisrael fight Sihon. They go around Ammon and Moab, and they fight Sihon and defeat Sihon. So says Pasuk Yedbeis, Vayishlach Yiftach Malachin al-Melech b'nei Ammon Lamar. And Yiftach sent messengers to the king of Ammon, saying, Ma li valach, kibasa elai li lachim ba'arti. Ma li valach, what is to me and to you that you've come to fight me in my land? Meaning, what hatred is there between us? What is there between us? Ma li valach, what's on me and on you that you've come to that you've come to attack us, Ammon? He was telling him, the Malbim says, he wanted to compromise. He wanted to compromise, and in order to do so, he had to know what was the reason why Ammon was attacking in the first place. So he said, tell me, what's this all about? And the king of Ammon said to the messengers of Yiftach, you know why I'm attacking you? Because you took my land. I'm just taking back my land. So this is going on the other side of the Yarden, on the other side of the Jordan, in the land of... So I think more specifically, probably more in the Reuben Gad area, I think. Not sure, but it's on the other side of the Yarden, and he said, he's saying, you took my land. You Jews took my land. He says, Balosom in Mitzrayim, when you went up from Mitzrayim, you took my land. May Arnon the Ad HaYabok, the Ad HaYarding, from Arnon until Yabok, until the Yarding. The Ata and now Hashiva Esen B'Shalom, return it in peace. Give it back to me. So, where do we have Arnon? So here's the Arnon River. Down here. Here's the Yabok River. And here is the Jordan. So basically this section, he's saying, you took from me. You took from us. And now just give it back to us and all will be peaceful. By Yosef owed Yiftach. And Yiftach continued, by Yiftach Malachim, and he sent more messengers, Amel Fenei Ammon, to the king of Ammon. By Yomer Lo, and he said to him, Ko amar Yiftach, so says Yiftach, Lo lokach Yisrael es eretz Moab es eretz Bnei Ammon. Bnei Yisrael did not take the land of Moab and the land of Ammon. Ki ba'alosam in Mitzrayim, because when they went up from Mitzrayim, Vayelach Yisrael ba'midbar ad Yamsuch, and Bnei Yisrael went in the Midbar until the Yamsuch, Vayavo Kadesha, and they came to Kadesh. That is not on this map. It's somewhere down here. And they came to Kadesh. Vayishach Yisrael Malachim al Melech Edom Lamar. And Bnei Yisrael sent messengers to the king of Edom, saying, Ebra no ve'artecha, let us pass through your land. The Roshom HaMelech Edom, and the king of Edom did not listen. The Gamel Melech Moab Shalach, and they also sent messengers to the king of Moab, Dilo Abba, and he didn't agree. Vayeshev Yisrael B'Kadesh, and Bnei Yisrael rested, they remained in Kadesh. So, let's open up the parsha of Hukah. Like the light that they're looking at, that they're parallel in the right way all four times. Right, this is Lucas. Again, this good thing we're off next week, so we won't be able to do this right before practice Lucas, so we'll get it in now. Good timing. Okay. Here we go. So the prospect described. Now Yisrael, Moshe, Malachim, Kodesh, Amalek, Edom. He sent messengers to King of Edom. Come, I'll see from Yisrael. So says your brother Yisrael. He gives the whole story. Nabil Nove Artecho, let us cross through your land. Go Nabor Bethadeh Bechayim, we won't go through the fields or the vineyards. We won't touch your water. We'll go straight through. And he says, Vayomer lo tavor. He says, you cannot pass. Vayese Edom lichosa v'am kavi to the Abchazaka. Edom gathers its men to prevent them from going. Vayese Yisrael me'olav. And Yisrael upset goes around. And the same thing for Moab. I'm not sure if Moab is here in the cooking. Yeah, I think they, in Sefer Devarim, it hinted to that the same thing happened for Moab, as Rashi tells us here, actually. So in Pasuk, yeah, so actually on this Pasuk, in Pasuk Yudayin, so Rashi says, V'gamel melech Moab, and he also sent messengers to Moab, and he didn't agree, so Rashi says there, V'lo avam, and he didn't agree, Ramza Batar, he says it's hinted to in the Torah, in Parsha Tzvarim, where it says, Kasher Asumi b'nei Esav hayoshim b'seir, Moabim Ayoshim Be'er, that as the Bnei Esav did to me, those who dwell in Seir, and the Moabim who dwell in Er, or Ar, and that is, he's saying, just as the Edomites did to me, which is described in Parshas Chukah, so too the Moabites did to me, and would not let us go through. So, Pasuk Yedches, Vayewech Vamidbar. And they went in the Midbar, they traveled in the desert, Vayasa ves Eretz Edom ves Eretz Moab, and they went around the land of Edom and the land of Moab, Vayavo mi Mizrach Shemes Eretz Moab, and they came from the east of Moab, Vayachanun ve'Ever Arnon, and they camped on the other side of the Arnon River, the Lovoh Bikvul Moab, and they did not come into the borders of Moab, the Arnon Bikvul Moab, because Arnon was the border of Moab, and they did not enter Moab, rather they went around. So again, just on the map, so they are coming up here, and according to this map, this is Moab. And this they describe as Ammon. Rashi here seems to describe it more that please. And that's Torah Parsha Chukah. So that's, flip to the back, it has that Torah. What page are we on? 1,188. So Rashi describes that Moab was the southeast corner of Eretz Yisrael, I guess, which is where it looks like here. Rashi describes Ammon as being more to the right side of Moab, just to the east of Moab. Here on the map, they have Ammon a little bit north of Moab. But basically, Bnei Yisrael went around, and then they're going to arrive at where Sichon is in Cheshbon. So, fine. So that was Pasuk Yud-Ches. So in Pasuk Yud-Ches, Vayishlach Yisrael Malachim al Sichon Melech Ha'amori Melech Cheshbon. And Bnei Yisrael sent messengers to Sichon, the king of the Amori, the king of Cheshbon, Vayomer lo Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael said to Sichon, Nabra na ve'artzucha an mekomi. Let us pass through your land so we can get to our place, so we could get into Eretz Yisrael. Ve'lohem im Sichon es Yisrael avor b'gvulo, and Sichon did not allow them, but he didn't believe them, he didn't trust them to pass through his borders. Vayesov Sichon es kol amo, and Sichon gathered his entire nation, Vayachanu b'yotza, and they camped in Yotza. This is Sichon's army, Vayivachem im Yisrael, and they went to war with Klal Yisrael. Malbim explains, meaning that he wouldn't even let them go along the borders. Ammon and Moab, they were able to circumvent, and they didn't attack them. As well, they gathered, at least we know, describing the pasuk, that Edom gathered their army to the borders, wouldn't let them through, but they didn't fight them at the borders. They allowed them to go around. But Sichon isn't going to allow that. Sichon gathers his army, and he wants to go to war. Well, I guess they could go over here. Og Melech HaBashan. I mean, they attacked Og also. They could have gone around, but he wouldn't let them go around. And so he gathered his army, and they fought him, and the end is that they defeat him. So, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, we'll just do a couple more. Vayiten Hashem Elokei Yisrael es Sichon ves kol amo b'yad Yisrael. And Hashem gave Sichon and his nation over to the hands of Israel. Vayakum, and they struck them. Vayirash Yisrael es kol eretz ha'emori. And Bnei Yisrael inherited the land of the Amori. Yoshev ha'aretz ahi, who was dwelling in that land. Vayirshu es kol gvul ha'emori, and they inherited all the borders of the Amori, mi'arnon v'ad ha'yabok, from Arnon until Yabok, from Amidbar v'ad ha'yarding, and from the desert until the yarding. So basically this section, from Arnon to Yabok, that's what he's describing. So this is what Yiftach tells the king of Ammon. Again, the king of Ammon is telling him, you took on your way up from Egypt, you took our land from Arnon to Yabok. And Yiftach proceeds to give him the whole history of what happened, that we went around Ammon and Moab, and that was the land that Sichon was dwelling in, and we attacked, and Sichon wouldn't let us go around, we attacked him, and we took his land. The Atta, and now, Hashem Elokei Yisrael Horisha Soyamori. Hashem, was Megari. She sent them out, the Amori, Mitnei Amo Yisrael, from before his nation Israel. The Atta, Hirashenu, as a question, it's rhetorical, and you're going to now inherit it from us. What right do you have, Amon, to this land? Hello, Chaptawed Esa Sher Yorishto Kemosh Elokecha Oso Sirach. That which Kemosh, your God, inherits, acquires for you, so that you'll inherit, that you'll get. The Eis Kosher Horish Hashem Elokeinu Miponeinu Oso Nirash, and that which Hashem has given over to us, we will inherit that. That will be our land. So Yiftach says, sorry, this land is not your land. This land was Sichon's, and we took it from Sichon. Now, it's very important that Sichon actually was in this land. Sichon didn't start out in this land. If you look in Parashat Sukkah, So the Torah describes how it came to be that Sihon was dwelling in that portion of land. The Gemara says in Gittin that Sihon Tiharo, like purified it, but basically made it available for Klal Yisrael to conquer. Where are the Pesukim? Parsha Sukkah. So after Bnei Yisrael conquers Sihon, right here also it's described as Yatza, Ayetze Likras Yisrael, Hamidbara, and Sihon went out to fight against Israel. In the Midbar, Vayavo Yatza, he came to Yatza, which is what was described in our Pasuk. Vayivachem be Yisrael, and he did battle with Israel. Vayakeo Yisrael of Yicharev, and Bnei Yisrael defeated them by sword. Vayirash es Arzo, and inherited the land. May Arnon ad Yabok, from Arnon until Yabok, this exact piece of land that we're talking about. Vayikach Yisrael es Kol Ha'arim La'Ela, they took all the lands, etc. And then the Pasuk describes Ki Cheshbon ir Sihon Melech HaAmorihi, because Cheshbon is the city of Sihon, the king of Amori, v'hu nilcham b'melech Moav harishon, and he had done battle with the king of Moav, the first one, v'yikach eskel arzo miyado ad Arnon, and he took all the land from Melech Moav. Al king Yomur Amoshlin bo Cheshbon, therefore the singers, the storytellers, they say, Bo Cheshbon, come to Cheshbon, Kibane v'sikonen ir Sihon, let the city of Sihon be built and be established. So the Torah is telling us a very important fact, which is that although this land started out under the control of Moab, but Sihon conquered it, Moab, we weren't allowed to attack. Moab, descendants of Lot, that was off limits for us. Ammon also, we weren't allowed to attack Ammon, and that's why we went around. But Sihon, I guess he's a descendant of Esav, I guess. So Sihon, we were allowed to attack, and so it was only because Sihon took the land from Moab that we were allowed to conquer that piece of land. The Chassam Sofer, commenting on the Haftorah for Parashas Chukas, he writes that there's a discussion whether Goyim can actually be Konet, can they acquire land from each other by conquering? Does it really have a chalos? Does it take effect? So it seems to be a machlokas. So he says that either we can understand the Gemara that says that Sihon took the land from Moab to be going like the opinion that Kibush works, a guy could conquer land from another guy and make it theirs. But he says that, I think he reads this into our Pesukim here in Shoftim, that even if you can't acquire land, even if a guy can't acquire, but and therefore Sihon just stole it, but didn't actually acquire it, but he says still it could be acquired through Yish. The person gives up on it, if a nation gives up on getting it back, then it could be acquired. And if we go on and we read the next Pasuk Chafei, so it says, V'ata now, Hatov Tov Ata Mibalach Ben Sipor Melech Moav, are you greater than Balak ben Zippor, who was an earlier king of Moab? Harov Rav in Yisrael, did he argue with Yisrael over this? Im Nilcham Nilcham Bam, did he fight them for this? He didn't fight them for this land. He let them keep this land. And the next pasuk, the Shabbos Yisrael v'Cheshbon of Yisrael, when Yisrael dwelled in Cheshbon and in the built suburbs, Uva Arar, Uviv Nosea, another city there, and its suburb. Uva Choha Ori Mashreli De Arnon, in all these lands over here by the Arnon River, Shlosh Meo Shana, they've been living there for 300 years. Umadua Lo Italtem Bo Isahi, why didn't you try to save them to reclaim them during the last 300 years? must be that you were miyayish, you gave up from them. And therefore, you have, even if a guy can't be kona with kibush, even if Sichon didn't really conquer the land, make it his by conquering it from Amon and Moab, but Yeush should work. And look, even Balak didn't fight you. He gave up. Nobody fought it, over it for 300 years. And it should be Nikneh. Well, that's in Eretz Yisrael is the question. This is outside of Eretz Yisrael.
Right. So
who gave it to them in the first place? Oh, you mean how did Goyim get their land from the start? Why is this land?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Now that you can't easily identify what nations you belong to anyway.
Right, yes. Yeah, no, nowadays for sure. Nowadays the Gemara says everybody's mixed up. You can marry any convert because we don't know, even though you're not allowed to marry, let's say, a Moabite man, but we don't know, everybody's mixed up, and we have a rove, we have a majority that says that he's not from Moab, and yeah, at this point we wouldn't know. But in those days where you had the real nation still there, so it was only because Sichon took that land, that's why Bnei Yisrael was allowed to conquer it. And the Mepharshim say, the Chidashim imply, they said that was, you know, Hashem, obviously Hashem arranges everything, but that was the arrangement that Hashem made in order that Bnei Yisrael could get this land, was he made sure that Sichon first conquered it from Moab, from Amon, in order that we could take that. The Mishpat Zav brings down from a Sefer Ma'or Shebatorah, a very nice idea, a very nice remez, a hint to this in Tehillim. We say this on Shabbos, I think, we say, V'sichon melech ha'emori ki le'olam chasto, that is part of the halal ha'gadol of all the things that hodu Hashem ki tov ki le'olam chasto, all the things that we thank Hashem for. So it says, V'sichon melech ha'emori ki le'olam chasto, for Sichon, the king of Emori, I guess the defeat of Sichon, ki le'olam chasto, Hashem's chesed is forever, u'le'og melech ha'bashan ki le'olam chasto, and for conquering Og, the king of Bashan. And then we say, and he gave their land as a nachal, as an inheritance, for his chesed is forever. And then it says, nachal Yisrael Abdo, a nachal, an inheritance for Bnei Yisrael, his servant, ki liolam chasa. So it seems to be like a repetitive. He gave their land as an inheritance. And then we say, nachal Yisrael Abdo, an inheritance for Yisrael, his servant. So why is that repeated? An inheritance. So he says, based on this idea, the Maharsha Shabbatorah says that first we're thanking Hashem for making it available. That the Nasan Arza Monachol, you made their land as a possible inheritance. By having Sichon conquer this land, so you made it available, basically, for the taking. That's the first thing we thank Hashem for. Benasan arza monachala, kili olam chasto, you arranged, you worked things out that it should be a nachal, an available land that we could take. And then we say, nachal Yisrael Abdo, and then you made that nachal, you actually gave it to Yisrael, kili olam chasto, for your chesed is forever. Good question. So this is actually a Navi Shir, and we just happen to be up to chapter 11 of Sefer Shoftim, which happens to be the Haftarah of Parshas Chukah. But it's timely, and we're just a 1 week behind, so it works out. Usually we have nothing to do with that week's Parsha, so... But it's timely, so it'll still be relevant.
Relevant to the current events as well.
Right. What's that?
sometimes it happens with Rafi Yomi, you know.
Yeah. So but we'll get some good ideas about Parashat Chukas anyway. So back to this pasuk in Chukas, there's a famous chazal about this pasuk that we read that says that after Bnei Yisrael conquers Sichon from them, conquers the land from Sichon, the pasuk says, Al King Yomru Hamoshlim Bo Chazbon. Therefore, the Moshlim, the storytellers, say, come to Chazbon. Kibonev Sichonain Ir Sichon, let the city of Sichon be built. And there's a chazal that, what's Al King Yomru Hamoshlim? So the Gemara says, Elu Hamoshlim B'Yitzron. It refers to those who are Moshlim over their Yetzer. They rule over their Yetzer Hara. And it says, Al King Yomru Hamoshlim, let those who rule over the Yetzer Hara say, Bo'u Cheshbon, come, let's make a Cheshbon. It literally means Bo'u Cheshbon, come to the city of Cheshbon. But the Gemara says, Bo'u Cheshbon, come, let's make a Cheshbon of the world. Let's make a calculation about the world. And it goes on to talk about a hefted mitzvah connected tzaro. Calculate when you, before you make a decision about whether to do a mitzvah, whether not to do a mitzvah, to do an aveir or not to do an aveir. You should be calculating about it. Whether not to do a mitzvah, but understand the great power of doing the mitzvah versus skipping it. So Rabbi Eliel Pian wants to read into this chazal also related to this. To this idea that, so he kind of, I'm not sure what he does about the second half of the chazal. It's more about the bo'u cheshbon part. Come, let's make a cheshbon. Cheshbono shel olam, a calculation about the world. He says that, and I saw Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, I think, a very similar idea that, the way Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says it is that, you know, you see someone who, like, let's say, is sort of beating up on someone. He steals from him, and let's say you see someone gets robbed by someone else, and the person is successful, and the money's not recovered, and, you know, our reaction is, oh, you know, there's no justice in the world, where's Hashem's justice? How could that poor guy be stolen from and this person not, you know? He says, we don't know. We don't know what the cheshbon of the world is. We don't know what the calculation is. It could be that his father stole from him and he's really just getting the money back. So, not that it makes it right, but in terms of the cheshbon of the Hashem has a calculation. So you have to make the cheshbon of the world. So over here, so Eliel Lopian described that as we read in the Pesukim, right, Cheshbon was taken, Sichon took it from Moab. He says, now here's the Cheshbon of the world that you have to make. He says, certainly Sichon, when he conquered Moab, so he was probably, you know, all arrogant about it, and, you know, look how strong I am, I took over Moab, I conquered this great city, I'm the greatest, all Gaivadik. And he thought it was him, that he's successful and he could conquer a land. And obviously, as we've been describing, it wasn't... The whole point of him taking that land was only so that Klal Yisrael would have the ability, the right, to then conquer it back from Sichon. So he says... What? Exactly. So he said, right, as we mentioned, the Gemara, Amon Amoav, Tiru V'Sichon, Sichon, like, purifying it for us to be able to take it. So he says, that's what the Pasuk means, Al King Yomru HaMoshlim Bo'u Cheshbon. By the way, on a simple level, the Ramban says that, what's this Pasuk about? Al King Yomru HaMoshlim Bo'u Cheshbon, therefore the storytellers say, Bo'u Cheshbon, the Ramban Al-Hatara says that the Pasuk is bringing a proof that it's really Sichon now. That it was really conquered. It's not just a temporary thing. The storytellers are going around and announcing it. It's in all the newspapers. It's everybody knows about it. Al King Yomer HaMoshlim Bo'u Cheshbon is a proof that this, right, that Sichon has conquered Cheshbon, and basically now it's available for Klal Yisrael to take from him. So, Rav Eliel Lapian says that the end of the pasuk is Tiboneh v'sikoneh ir Sichon, when the city of Sichon is built by Bnei Yisrael, so that's when we'll see the Cheshbon. Akin Yomru Hamosim Bo Cheshbon, come, let's make a calculation. Tiboneh v'sikoneh ir Cheshbon, when we see ir Sichon, when we see the city being built by Klal Yisrael, after we conquer it from Sichon, so then we'll understand the whole cheshbon, the whole calculation that went into this, that it was necessary for Sichon to conquer the land from Ammon or Moab or whoever was there in order for Bnei Yisrael to be able to come in, take it over, and build our cities there. So this is also brought by the Mishnah Tzav, and then he brings another related idea, which is that the Briskarav, in the beginning of Parashas Bereishis, discusses the Chazal at the beginning of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says that Vasud Lavo, at the end of days, the nations of the world are going to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're going to say, everything that we did for Klal Yisrael, that they could learn Torah. So, you know, how could they make such a claim? How could they come to the Olam HaEmet and make such a claim? We're not talking about, you know, they're in a courtroom here, you know, so you could make something up like that. How could it be that the Umos HaOlam could come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and make such a claim that everything that we did, we only did so that Klal Yisrael could learn Torah? The Briskarav says, by the way, in the Gemara, I think, you know, basically Hashem throws them out and says, no, you didn't. You did it for yourself. But how do we understand the claim in the first place? So Briskarav says, based on the Rambam, in the Hakdama, the introduction to Parasha Mishnayos, the Rambam writes that it can happen that a person can build himself a beautiful palace. A guy, a Gentile, can build himself a beautiful palace, and it can stand, you know, for years and years. And it's only there so that one day, one yid could come along and sit in the shade of the wall in order to, one tzaddik, he says an ish chassid, can come there to sit in the shade and save himself from death or even to learn Torah. That could be the entire purpose of the of this talent. So he says the same
time and that is
So he says, based on this, that it's the same thing with the Goyim, with the Umos HaOlam. They're gonna come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they're gonna say, everything that we did, we only did so that Klal Yisrael could learn Torah. And it's gonna be a true statement. It's 100% true. Everything that the nations of the world do, everything that they build, everything that they invent, is only so that Klal Yisrael can. It's for the purpose of Klal Yisrael. It's for us in some way. We don't understand the cheshbonos of olam, the whole calculation. We don't know. We don't see it necessarily. But everything that happens is for Klal Yisrael. And so that's how they can make that claim. Now, they didn't do it on purpose. So I thought HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws them out, you know?
They didn't have their kavanah.
Right, that wasn't their kavanah. But at the end of the day, they can come and make that claim. It will be a true claim. They could come to the Olam HaEmet, right? It's the Olam HaEmet. It's true. You can't lie there. It's not a lie, he says. It's true. But they still aren't going to really get rewarded for that because that wasn't their kavanah. So that's the cheshbono shel olam going on over here. Okay, maybe we'll hold it here.